from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and today for Michael Krasny. Coming up, a shocker in the media world as the Graham family agrees to sell the Washington Post after 80 years of ownership. The buyer is Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, who's agreed to spend $250 million for the paper. How might he change the business structure of the paper? And what, if anything, does it mean for the future of one of the nation's most prestigious publications? And later in the hour, the California PUC decides to regulate ride-sharing services like Uber, Lyft, and Sidecar. We'll examine the ramifications for consumers and the taxi industry. We'll get started with Forum right after this. Good morning and welcome once again to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Michael Krasny. Well, the Washington Post had a big scoop yesterday, announcing that Amazon founder Jeff Bezos will purchase the paper for $250 million. The paper, whose coverage of the Watergate break-in led to the resignation of President Nixon, has been owned by the Graham family for 80 years. The Post, like most newspapers, has been bleeding money and readers for years thanks to competition on the Internet. And now, a wildly successful Internet entrepreneur will own it. Joining us to talk about it are Ken Doctor, news industry analyst for Outsell. That's a global research and advisory firm. And he's also author of Newsonomics, 12 New Trends That Will Shape the News You Get. Ken Doctor, good morning.
Good morning.
Also joining us from the nation's capital, Tom Rosensteel, executive director of the American Press Institute. Good morning to you as well.
Hi, Scott.
Let me begin with you, Tom. What are you hearing this morning in Washington among your media friends and anyone else who you've talked to about this?
Well, surprise both that the paper was for sale. That was a secret that was pretty successfully kept, and secrets aren't very successfully kept in this town. Also excitement, I think, that Bezos, who is a disruptor, who sees himself as a guy who's interested in changing the world, very ambitious in the things he's done. I mean, he didn't just create an internet company. He wanted to change retailing. He was to this very early. He's extremely bold in his approach and with a very much of a long-term customer-focused approach.
Fair to
that
say that
he would be interested in the Post, I think, has generated a lot of excitement.
Fair to say that if you work at the Post this morning, you're sort of relieved.
Well, you're shocked because you didn't know the Grahams were moving on, but you're relieved because the prospects, the upside of somebody like Bezos is very high. But there is always more change coming with a new owner than people ever really contemplate or appreciate. And so that's uncertainty. And there's a fair amount of uncertainty and nervousness, too.
Yeah, which, of course, there's been a lot of uncertainty in the business for a long time.
Yeah, and morale at the Post has been has not been great. The narrative about the paper in the city is probably harsher than it deserves to be, and that affects people. So I think when it was interesting the pictures in the Post today of the announcement, people look shocked and not excited. But I suspect that will change as they contemplate, as you say, what the alternatives might have been.
Conductor,
well, and newsrooms are never happy places.
We're pretty happy here at KQED on most days.
Maybe the exception, or maybe radio is a lot happier place than print. but I think the shock, the shock, especially of this family selling unexpectedly, the Boston Globe sold on Saturday, but everybody knew that was coming. That was telegraphed for months, if not years, that was going to happen. So I think the shock is there. And newsrooms, in my experience, are often half-glass empty kinds of places. There is a lot of promise here, as Tom points out, but there is also a fair amount of peril. both for individuals and for what the paper may become.
Well, and one of the first things Jeff Bezos said was, hey, we're not going to, the values of the paper don't need to change. We're going to keep the top level management in place. Is that just sort of a placeholder, do you think, Ken Doctor? I mean, what should change at the Post?
Well, I think any new owner says that. I can hardly think of any new owner who doesn't say that. Although it is more likely authentic in this case. What needs to change is that the Post has got to make a fuller digital transition. It is barely profitable, if that. It actually reported a net operating loss the first two quarters and last year. It is not doing well financially, and only through the Grahams and their ownership has it kept a larger-than-average newsroom. So what it needs to do is it really needs to figure out how to make money off of its vast audience that is both local, national, and global. The big hope, I think, is that Bezos, with his information technology experience and really having created the best consumer experience, I think, on the web overall, can take that kind of thinking to how do you deliver news? How do you do a Netflix for news? How do you do an iTunes for news? How do you bring news to us through these tablets and smartphones that are now ubiquitous?
And Tom Rosenstiel, what do you think is the significance of someone like a Jeff Bezos who made a fortune in the Internet now taking over in an industry where the Internet is bringing it to its knees?
Well, I think there are two kinds of significance. One is Bezos has reached that state in life at 49 where his position as a businessman at triumphant is secure. He's worth reportedly $25 billion. And it's not unusual, whether you're talking about Rockefeller or Ford or Gates or Buffett, at a certain point to begin to think about larger civic impact. And so some of this may be serious in terms of the Post being an institution. There's another possibility on top of that, which is that he does see a digital future. Journalism is not something that, you know, has to be delivered a certain way. And there are all kinds of new possibilities of how journalism becomes better, richer, smarter, faster. The tools to produce journalism have been dramatically enhanced by the technology that has largely destroyed the financial model. And if you can figure out a way to sort of realize the potential of the journalism side so that it becomes more engaging for people and they want to spend more time on it and they value it more, and you can somehow deliver information about retail goods and services in this new way, in something better than banner and pop-up ads, there is a high upside because people still spend a lot of time with news. And so I think that's the tantalizing possibility. Does Bezos see more gold in them thar hills than the traditional operators can imagine? He saw more potential for retail in the Internet than most other people have. Can he do that for the delivery of information? Can he do for the delivery of books and razor blades? Can he do that for information? If he can, that's a very tantalizing possibility that affects everybody, not just people at the Washington Post.
One thing that Jeff Bezos has shown at Amazon is a willingness to look long and kind of resist the pressures for short-term profits. And Ken Doctor, what do you think that says about the way he might run the Post? Might making a profit be less important to him than it would be, say, to the Graham family?
Yeah, I think that is a key to the deal and why the Grahams picked Bezos out of apparently a number of different possibilities. We go from a company that is a public company. It's a two-tier stock system, but it is a public company with quarterly reports and pressures of any public company back to a private company. And in a lot of ways, that's what journalism needs. It needs deep pockets, and it needs deep pockets that are willing to take that long view. As you know, Amazon has long frustrated investors. It's had losses over the years and meager profits as it's built its business. And that's really what's going on in the journalism business, is that it is being rebuilt brick by brick in a mainly digital form, but it's doing the straddle with print because most of the money's still in print. So a 3 to 5 year perspective, and one of the first things he said is no layoffs, at least in the newsroom, that is very important, and I think that is the key to the deal for the Grahams.
Talking this half hour about the news that Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is buying the Washington Post, our guests, Ken Doctor, a news industry analyst and author of Newsonomics, 12 New Trends That Will Shape the News You Get, and Tom Rosenstiel, joining us from Washington, D.C. this morning, executive director of the American Press Institute. If you'd like to weigh in on this news that has been described as stunning, shocking, a thunderbolt, give us a call here on Forum, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email your thoughts and comments and questions to forum@kqed.org. Tom Rosenstiel, I remember when many years ago now that Disney bought ABC and everyone wondered, how is the network now going to cover Disney and the film industry? And it was, I would say, awkward at best. How concerned should we be, and what will you be looking for as the Post now moves into this Amazon era? How the Post covers business, how it covers Amazon, or will Jeff Bezos sort of stay in, as he calls it, the other Washington up in Seattle?
Yeah, and that always happens with new owners, and particularly when owners have other business interests that aren't entirely journalism, as is the case of GE or Disney, or even in the case when I came from the Times Mirror Company in LA, which owned the LA Times, and Onus Chandler had liked to hunt in Africa, and it wasn't unheard of for him to ask correspondents when his hunter guides would be arrested for poaching in one country to go to visit that country and help get his iguana out of jail. So owners have sacred cows, and you don't know which ones there will be. So there'll be a lot of anticipation and monitoring of that. It's not uncommon for some of that to be self-censorship, for a journalist to worry and sort of not go a certain place. On the other hand, some of these conflicts are so obvious that the publishers or owners say, tell it on the straight. Don't worry about this. My guess is, based on previous experience, it'll be very hard to find any direct intervention on Bezos's part. It may influence who, he may weigh in on the editorial pages, which is his right as, and that's sort of a different sphere. Even in publishers where there's a much higher degree of suspicion, such as Rupert Murdoch on some of his political and business dealings overseas, it's often hard and murky for people to identify, a direct intervention. So my guess is, based on everything we've seen from all the many new owners, that there'll be much more monitoring, and any small cases where there's a suspicion will be much talked about, and Bezos will realize he's got much bigger fish to fry and trying to turn around the Post than tweaking, a story or an editorial here or there.
Ken Doctor, we're going to be moving, once this sale is has gone through, from an era where the ownership of the Post has been in the hands of a family that has been deeply entwined in the cultural, political, and social fabric of the nation's capital, to a time when, the owner is going to live 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
What difference does that make, do you think?
It's going to have a number of impacts, and they're going to be hard to tell. In part, it's fascinating. He's out here on the West Coast, and the Washington Post is the one of the best examples of the East Coast power structure. We know on the West Coast all the vitality of business thinking, creativity, arts out here. And it often seems like a stepchild to the coverage in national media, New York Times, Washington Post, many of the magazines based in New York. So I think you have that phenomenon of essentially nouveau riche, nouveau thinking, which is West Coast. The Grahams are very much a part of that whole social scene. They will, I think, remain part of the social scene, but without the power. And I think that's fine. I think the world is really changing, and you have in Washington, for instance, you've got new publications like Politico and the Power of Atlantic Media. There are new power institutions which are also very attached to families in Washington, D.C. So it's not just the Washington Post as it would have been 20 years ago. There are other powerful institutions and powerful families in Washington, and I think the change is good. It's good for the Post. I think it's good for the country.
Tom Rosenstiel, there's been criticism of journalists in D.C., particularly perhaps with those in the covering the White House and Congress, that it's a little too cozy, a little too comfortable sometimes. And I'm wondering if you would agree with that assessment, and whether having somebody from the West Coast take over the paper, at least the ownership of it, if that might not be maybe a healthy thing.
You know, I don't know how much difference it's going to make. The journalists who are who get cozy because they think it serves their interest, which often, by the way, is less typical of newspapers than it is of electronic media, where the journalists themselves are more celebrified than the ink stained wretches or Bozian stained wretches of a newspaper. I don't think that's going to change. I think that's culture, and I think Jeff Bezos owning the Post isn't going to change the political culture of Washington. Many an individual has come to this town, sometimes as president of the United States, trying to change the culture, and usually they get changed more than the city does.
Yeah. 866-733-6786 if you want to weigh in on this topic. For this half hour only, we're talking about the purchase by Amazon's Jeff Bezos of the Washington Post. Let's go now to David in Walnut Creek. David, good morning.
Hi. I was thinking about this, that Amazon is one company that's competing with Apple and Microsoft and Google, and a lot of the regulation of their businesses comes out of Washington. And now Bezos is going to have a lot of power influencing that regulatory environment. Like, for example, right now there's, you know, Apple is being sued for, by the Justice Department for how they were handling ebook sales. When issues like that come up, you know, Amazon, one of the biggest retailers in the world, is going to have too much influence over that process, and that to me is a little concerning.
Tom Rosenstiel, what are your thoughts about that? And, it would seem to me that one thing you have to maintain is the integrity of the publication. And without that, you don't, you know, your power and the value diminishes, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the tricky thing, is that if you enter into the news business in some way. Now, the challenge here for someone like Bezos is that the Washington Post is, from a financial standpoint, a much smaller entity than Amazon, and it will be forever. You have to essentially decide you're willing to let go and let the journalists do their thing. And it may be that there'll be pressure from others in Amazon who don't understand this. This will be a difficult test for Bezos. He certainly will have friends, and his friends, by the way, include Donald Graham and Warren Buffett, who have more experience with this kind of thing. I'm sure intellectually he thinks he's going to let the journalism be independent, but you really can't know how you're going to react if you've got a lot of money at stake on something. Are you going to let a publication that you also own become an irritant? Ultimately, of course, the newspaper is not going to dictate what policies are made in Washington. It's simply another player. But I think this is going to be something that Bezos, regardless of what he thinks he's going to do, he's going to have under in the moment. He's going to have to decide. We'll have to watch and see how does he respond to these pressures.
Yeah,
we can't anticipate what they're all going to be, and some of them are going to come out of left field, and he's going to make quick decisions.
Yeah, Ken, Dr. Bezos made a point of saying that he is personally buying the paper, not the company. Amazon is not buying it. So what's the distinction? What's the importance of that?
Well, it's where the money comes from and where who gets to call the tune. Yet Jeff Bezos is really indistinguishable from Amazon, given how he heads the company, has built the company, has been a forceful advocate for everything that it's done. So it's a meaningful legal distinction and financial distinction, but less so in terms of public perception. And the kind of questions that David raised, I think, are really important ones, that the new business power centers are Google, Apple, Facebook, Amazon. These companies have tremendous business power and a great deal to say about the kind of legislation, whether it is the ebook case that he noted or the many privacy cases that are coming, in terms of how the digital revolution plays out. One last thing on Amazon in terms of that. What does Amazon do but disintermediate and disrupt local commerce? The Post is very dependent on local commerce and advertising, as all newspapers are, and Amazon is coming right at local retailers through same-day delivery in 12 cities and many other places.
Although that's going to happen regardless of whether, who owns the paper.
If you're an advertiser, though, in Washington, and you say, this guy owns the paper and he owns Amazon.
I don't want to enrich him further,
Yeah.
All right, good. David, thanks so much.
That's a real collision. I mean, I think that's a fundamental thing where Amazon is essentially, well, as Ken says, it's sort of at war with the local retailers who are the backbone of news publishing and local news publishing all around the country. So these are now very strange bedfellows.
Yeah. Let's try to sneak another call in here. Stephen in San Francisco. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. I do not use Amazon for all the reasons that the gentleman just stated. However, I remain cautiously optimistic about this purchase because I think the only way that real journalism is going to survive is if it is monetized properly. If institutions have the money to spend to do good reporting and be, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, and Tom.
I do not like Amazon at all.
For all the reasons we've talked about. Tom Rosenstiel, we've got just about 30 seconds left. What are you going to be looking for in the medium term in terms of the impact that Jeff Bezos might have, not just on the Post, but on journalism?
I think what you want to look for is experiments, things that nobody else is doing. You're seeing a little of that from Aaron Kushner in Orange County, and that would suggest that fresh eyes mean a fresh way of doing things.
And Ken Doctor, quick comment from you.
I would look at that and also who he brings in. He's already said he's keeping top management, but they need a shakeup of new ideas. So who does he bring in to affect the thinking of these new products, new sales approaches, new technology?
All right. Ken Doctor, news industry analyst for Outsell, thanks so much. And thanks to Tom Rosenstiel, also from the American Press Institute in Washington, D.C. this morning. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll be talking about a decision by the California Public Utilities Commission to regulate ride shares like Lyft and Uber. Stay with us.